Hello, it's Allegra Lowenstein. You can find me at allegralowenstein.com. Today's episode of Have Your Cake and Eat It Too, I want to share some seasonal insights. It's winter, even in San Diego, even in Southern California. We are actually having a winter this year. Yes, our winters are a bit more mild, but the days are shorter. We can feel it. The sun's going down earlier. And it's actually raining this year, which is historically the norm for San Diego. Although for quite a few years, we've been in a severe drought and there has not been very much rain. So it's very refreshing to have the rain back this year. We don't know what to do in it. We'd lose our minds. Nobody knows how to drive. Things get closed down from 3 inches of rain. But it's raining and it's good and it's putting us in that winter mode and there's more clouds. It helps us. Well, I don't know if it helps us. It helps me tap into that mode, which is part of the natural cycle of life. And okay, I know you're busy. Your job's demanding. You're like, why are you talking about this? What does this have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with everything because we are animals. We're special animals, but we are animals. We are connected to nature and to the cycles of the season and the cycles of life. And the seasons, of course, are a metaphor of the cycles of life. It's all interconnected. And this year, this winter, I went into this winter already pledging to hibernate. Okay, so what does that mean? Obviously, I'm not going to go sleep in a cave for months on end. I have my regular duties and my regular life. And it's not what humans do anyway. But I wanted to use that metaphor. I was trying to, this year, be more in touch, be more intentional about how my seasonal efforts reflect the seasons of the year. And with winter, I want to do less, right? So winter is this interesting phenomenon for humans, right? So outside it's cold, there's shorter days, we're kind of in this natural state, and it's a natural reaction to want to recreate the feeling of summer within that, right? And that's why we have parties, and that's why so many holidays are set in the winter, because they're not necessarily Christmas, most famously, right? They actually think Jesus was born in the summer or early fall. But humans naturally want to celebrate things in the winter, celebrate the light, celebrate the summer, really, the return of summer eventually. It's also the same as the yin and the yang, or the yin and the yang, depending how you want to pronounce it. It's the black on one side, big, getting smaller. The white on the other side, smaller, getting big. And then in the center of the biggest part of each is the black dot or the white dot, right? And that is a metaphor for many, many cycles, including lighting candles, putting lights on a tree, getting together with loved ones, celebrating joy and abundance, even in the depths of winter, right? That there's this seed of hope of what's to come again. So that's normal and natural. However, in today's super cuckoo crazy modern world, that we're out of balance with that. Okay, so it's supposed to be going in, hibernating, we're spending long nights drinking our hot cup of tea. If you think back to agricultural times, right, the work is done. We work all spring, we work all summer, we work all fall harvesting. There's celebration of harvest in the fall. And the work is mostly done in the winter. Okay, I don't know if you know this, but I record these outside. I just am in a good flowing mental state. It works on a lot of levels. Where I go, there's very few. I don't run into too many people. I don't know if you just heard that. People run really funny. Okay, not everybody. But that guy, if you, I don't know if you could hear him. I feel like the microphone definitely should have picked that up. He was scraping his feet so hard. It's like he didn't even pick him up. He wasn't running, he was shuffling. Okay, that was just bizarre. All right, back on track. We are out of tune. All right, just focus on that. We are out of tune. Okay, your job, your demands, your regular life, do they diminish? Did they become more relaxed in the winter? Probably not. It's like, no. Work, work, work. Produce, produce, produce. Do, do, do. Make, make, make. And then, even if you get a little break of that for some reason, or you take a holiday or whatever, we have turned the holidays into the same thing. Shop, shop, shop. Buy, buy, buy. Keep up with all of the pictures on Instagram and Pinterest and do some crazy decorations, and it's just intense, right? It's kind of messed up. And then layer all that on top of, okay, I don't care what your political perspective is. I don't think it's a secret. You probably could have guessed. I am a bleeding heart liberal. The environment is my biggest thing. I'm passionate about the environment because all the other things that we want to fight about, if we screw up the environment, none of that rest of that matters. I also huge on education. I mean, my background is education, and I believe in it. I support it. I have a lot of opinions about it. But number one is environment, because you know what? It doesn't matter if we educate the kids of the world if we have poisoned the environment that they're going to inherit. Okay, so that's my number one thing. Now, regardless, again, of what your personal priorities are for what the government should be working on or who you support or whatever, it doesn't matter. In the United States, since the election of Donald Trump, before that, well before that, since the campaigns of the 2016 election, really, I've read some news about it. It apparently actually goes all the way back to the 90s, but I wasn't paying that much attention back then. So it's just been this growing sentiment of divisiveness, right? I mean, Trump is incredibly divisive and he plays to that divisiveness. But whether or not she played to it, Hillary Clinton was also divisive, you know? People hated her. So I don't know that we would have been in a better, as far as the divisiveness goes, I don't know that we would have really been in a better state. Like, we haven't had anyone come to the home who actually can unite us in a long time. But it's definitely at a fever pitch for the past 2 years. So again, no matter whose side you're on, I think we're all feeling this. I think we're all being affected by this. I think we're all affected by the fact that if you have a loved one of a different political preference. Okay, my dad, not a bleeding heart liberal, to say the least. I don't feel like I can talk to him about this stuff. And when I do, you know, it doesn't go that well. My dad and I are good. We're great. We have a great relationship. We don't talk about politics, right? So there's a divide even in that. That's subtle, right? It's not really affecting us, but if you're in a situation where it can't be avoided, or, you know, you're just in a dynamic where it comes to the surface more or it plays out in different ways, not everybody can just put it aside. I think we all feel it. We all are affected by the intense, you know, I call it a political divide, but I think it goes beyond that. It's an emotional divide. It's a feeling that we can't connect with other people, and we have to shut down this whole arena of conversation. And the news plays to this, okay? All of the news. I would just say I believe in the news. There's a ton of good journalism out there. Much of it. Yes, of course, everything has an opinion and a slant. That's just true about life. We can't, nobody lives without their own filter on. But there's people that are trying to minimize that. Journalists, I think, generally try to. Not all. Some of them play up certain aspects. But again, no matter if they're totally neutral or if they have an opinion or whatever, news sells when people in this day and age click on it, right? Everybody's selling clicks these days. And so they want your eyeballs on the news. So they put the things that put your eyeballs on the news. And it's just human nature. We are, whether or not we want drama in our life, we are always kind of attracted to drama, right? I'm sure that you are not the kind of person who wants a car crash or a train wreck to happen, right? That would be messed up. But who doesn't look when they drive by one, right? It's human nature. We're like, oh my God, it's so terrible. I can't pull myself away. And so in a time in the world when that is in your face every single day, I really believe it's a continuation of go, go, go mentality, competition, technology becoming incredibly pervasive, invasive, giving us stimulation at all hours of the day and night, never a chance to relax from it, never a chance to disconnect from it. Layer on top of that incredible divisiveness and the media playing to that divisiveness to get more clicks. And you know, I don't blame them, like they gotta make money too. They have to have, people have to read it or there wouldn't be any news. And it still contributes to a very intense situation that is depleting all of us, especially in the depths of winter. Especially when biologically the world is slowing down and we are part of the world. We are part of nature. We should also be slowing down. But we have all these continued pressures from work, demands, productivity, to family demands, right? What the holidays have become is not just get together with the people closest to you, but it's, we're divided from our families physically, right? So we're traveling, not everybody, but many of us traveling. It's exciting. I love to travel, but the requirement, the compulsion to do it, and then to be potentially together with people who you love, but especially in the, again, back to the political divide, like it's not always easy. And the older that we get, we have different expectations. It's really complicated. There's so many layers happening here. And what I want to go back to, why I'm talking about this in the first place, is that this is exactly the type of thing that contributes to depletion, total all-around stress, and weight gain. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. Okay, it's not that the holiday parties cause you to gain weight. It's that our whole lifestyle of constant stress, constant pressure, no opportunity to detach from that, whacks our bodies out, whacks our metabolism out, whacks our hormones out, and you're never going to reach your health goals. Whether you want to lose weight or whether you just want to eat healthier, whether you want to eat less sugar, it doesn't matter. If you are part of this incredibly pervasive emotional stress and demand that the world just puts on us these days, you will be derailed every time. And then you'll feel like a moral failing, because what we're taught, what we think is, if I just had enough willpower, I could stick to this. And I say it all the time, but it has nothing to do with willpower. Willpower is finite. It can be used in small doses to get through very short periods of problems, whatever that they are. And it's generally used up at work or with whoever, you know, a difficult relationship or just running errands, dealing with, you know, the person in the aisle who tells you that they don't carry something when you know that they do, right? Or whatever. Whatever it is, it's been used up. And so then, of course, you're going to be like, oh my God, this gingerbread. I'm just going to eat. I'm so stressed out. I'm so hungry. I'm so pissed off about that person in the aisle or whatever it is, you know, again, it doesn't matter. Like, that project at work didn't go well, whatever it is, it's drained us out. And it's like, nothing to do with willpower. It's an absolute depletion. It's very common to eat when you're tired, eat when you're hungry, eat when you're stressed. Like, our body doesn't really know what to do when it gets that depleted. So it's like, oh, let's try eating. And so willpower is irrelevant at that point. Willpower, just throw it out the window. It has nothing to do with anything. You got to stop dealing with the problem. When you see the problem, take a 1500 steps backwards and look at the fact that everything is out of balance. Really, honestly, in our whole world. And it takes incredible intention. It doesn't take that much work. It actually takes doing less. You know, a lot of people come to me when we start working, or they don't want to work with me because they think I'm going to put all this stuff on their to-do list. And I'm like, no, actually, we're going to take stuff off of your to-do list. And don't bother coming to me if you're attached to all that stuff on your to-do list, because we are. We think we're so important that we have to do all these things. And you are important, and you're valuable, and you're worth taking care of, and you're worth putting yourself on the to-do list, because that's the problem, is that that to-do list usually leaves you off of it. And so the real work is taking that step back. Like, I talk about decluttering our health, right? It's like, let's get rid of all this BS that doesn't serve us. Let's just say no to some of this stuff. And just put me back on that list. Okay, and I speak this like, not only do I know what it takes to deal with overeating and losing weight, that requires getting to the root of the actual emotional trigger, because that was my journey many, many years ago. I also know that you will never have health, even if you get skinny, if you are not on your to-do list. Because when I stopped overeating, really for me it was sugar, I was a sugar binger. When I let go of that, I mean, that was like over a decade ago. But my health suffered when life changes happened. I got too busy, I was doing for everybody else, and I wasn't on my own to-do list. Okay, now for me it was two separate events. For many other people, maybe you, it's all one and the same. The health symptom is the weight. For me, it was the weight 10 plus years prior, but in the past few years, it was headaches and like a lot of other body pain, quite frankly, physical pain, in particular headaches. And that's because I was too busy doing everybody else's bidding and I wasn't on that list. And I tell you what, it's not just schedule a massage once a month. That's awesome. Look, you want to get a massage once a month? I'm a huge fan. Massage is amazing for your body. But that's putting on the to-do list and it's not taken off, right? It's a good thing to put on the to-do list. That's fine. But what I'm talking about really is getting really raw, getting really real, getting brutally honest about how you prioritize, how you spend your day, letting go of the BS and just putting 15 minutes every morning for something you love to do, right? Like, you don't even have to leave the house. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night would be ideal. Okay, but like, that's the kind of shift that I'm talking about. I saw a friend one time who, love her dearly, she puts everybody else first and she gets real frazzled and stressed out. And I saw her one time, we left the same place. We didn't know we both had to stop at the grocery store. And she never saw me at the grocery store. I said something to her. She didn't even see me. Even when I said something to her, we went racing into the grocery store. She slipped and fell on some water. I actually went over and asked her if she was okay. Like, one of my best friends, she didn't see me. She didn't realize it was me. She was so frazzled. She went and got mad at one of the employees about the water on the floor. And then she just like ran off, got whatever she went to get, and I didn't see her after that. The point being that her stress of feeling like she had so much to do actually made her life worse, right? She was basically running in the grocery store. And that's, in my opinion, what actually caused her to slip and fall. Yeah, there was water on the floor. But then, like, the interaction with the grocery store person, I could tell, made her madder, right? She was already mad. We basically put ourselves into this state of aggravation from being totally depleted, that we get stressed and frazzled. And at that point, the moral of this story is that at that point, nothing else, nobody can fix it for you. Nobody, what anybody else does doesn't matter, because we've put ourselves off the list. We've taken care of all the other things except ourselves. And we've actually made our life more difficult, more complicated, more time consuming, right? Because then she had to fall, she had to talk to the person. And we didn't have to do that if we would have just chilled out, prioritized things, and taken some things off of the to-do list, including fun things, all right? This is my biggest problem. I'm an extrovert. I love to be around people. I love to socialize. And I have a really hard time saying no to social events. And my resolution this year, not a New Year's resolution, this is my winter resolution, was to say no, including to social events. And I wrote it in my journal, and I've had to go back and read it and remind myself of that. So as I wrap up this episode, I'm going to talk about being in tune with the seasons gives us that chance to recuperate in a natural way. It gives us that chance to be quiet, be contemplative, be reflective, be in hibernation. But it takes an incredible intention to say no and do less, because the pressures will never go away. Nobody's ever going to respect that desire. They want to invite you to the parties. They want you to do that thing. They want you to take this extra project at work. Okay, if you have somebody who's helping you do less, thank them, bless them, like you owe them eternal gratitude. Not that it's like hard really for people to do that, but just to recognize how rare that is, how most people get so caught up in what they want to happen. And they're all caught up in their own stress too, right? Like people overdoing things, they actually want you to overdo it too, because nobody wants to be alone. Okay, so as we appreciate the darkness and the rain and potentially the snow, wherever you are, it's our chance to declutter our life, our health, our emotions. Be in tune with the season of less. Okay? Celebrating what's to come with a spark. Not weeks and weeks of shopping and preparing and all this stuff. And some of that stuff, you can't say no to everything. I get it. So it's, again, contemplate, prioritize. What feels good that you want to say yes to? What feels bad? Can you say no to it? I challenge you to think that there are many times when you can, even if you think that you can't. And recognizing the people who support that decluttering process and having boundaries of the people who don't. That will put us all into a space of winter contemplation, which it seems far out to say it, but that's the kind of thing that will actually bring weight loss. Sustainable, easy weight loss in our life. Because when we're not stressed, and we're not busy, and we're not tired, and we're not exhausted, we don't have to put food in our face. It becomes a choice that we actually have control over. Not a compulsion that has nothing to do with willpower or not, but literally a biological hormonal compulsion, because we're depleted. And when we're depleted, our body's like, oh, nourish me. So it's not about the continual nourishment of food, and that is what food is about. It's just that we use it to nourish the emotions as well as the body. And there's a role for that, right? That's celebration, that's holidays. Like, there is actually a beautiful, healthy part of that. But when we're depleted, we use it all the time. I would love to know what you think about this. If you are just beginning to explore this and you don't have it yet, I highly recommend getting yourself a copy of Emotional Eating Detox. It will lay the foundation for awareness to succeed in whatever health goals you may be considering for the new year. It brings our attention. It takes 5 minutes a day. It's very simple, but it actually shifts our awareness from the BS of all these things that we have to put on our to-do list and helps us get clear of what's really going on here. You know, this is the opportunity. 5 minutes a day. It's actually a 21-day journal. 21 days of journaling. It doesn't matter if you do it in 21 days or 30 days or 45 days. Sometimes people take 6 months or a year. The more you do it, the more benefit you're going to get. But if you don't do it every day, that doesn't matter. It's not a reason not to get it. But it will lay that foundation. If you do it in 21 days, though, I am recording this on December 11th. I'll probably post it in a few days. That would set you up perfectly for New Year's. So hey, there's that to consider. It's about taking that step back. That's what this journal will do for you. It gives you the tool to know how to take that step back, because, you know, it's really easy to be like, oh, just take a step back and get the awareness that you need to succeed. And you're like, well, how do I do that? This is actually how you do it. 5 minutes a day, answering the questions in the journal, without pressure, without making other changes, just getting that awareness. And what a beautiful winter ritual. Cozying up under your covers with a mug of tea, writing in your journal for 5 minutes before you go to bed. You would be so in the spirit of winter and in tune with the natural cycles that you would already be setting yourself up for success on that level as well. So check that out at AllegraLowenstein.com. AllegraLowenstein. It's my detox. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Whenever you're listening to this, have a wonderful holiday season. Have a wonderful whatever if you're not listening to this when I first put it out. Take care. Hope to hear from you soon.